on the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again.
Welcome back, high school hockey fans, for another edition of This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey. I'm Mike Hammett, Michael Terzinski, Del Scanlon, Bill Berg, and Bill Berg Jr. And we play our cards right. William Berg III will be eventually on the cast of this show. Game recaps. We've a couple of us got out to see some games this week, and Trasher got to see a pretty good one that went to bonus hockey, West Salem and Wisconsin Rapids. Michael?
All right, thanks, MJ. Yeah, the Lincoln High Red Raiders from Wisconsin Rapids traveled down to West Salem to take on the Panthers at the West Salem Ice Arena, a.k.a. the Meat Locker. A very small rink, very cold rink, and it has a ceiling that's probably about 15 feet off the ice. And there was six or seven pucks that doinked off the plywood during the play. And this was a game that had a lot of storylines. It had the coach for West Salem, Eric Borey, was a former Wisconsin Rapids player and coach. And there was a little sectional force supremacy, a battle for that here. It started out with West Salem scoring twice in the first period. Richard Brown and Bailey Martin scored 2 minutes apart late in the period to take a 2-0 lead to the first intermission. And then the guests returned the favor in the second period with Sam Storley and Logan Conkey scoring on the power play early to mid-period to tie it at 2. And it looked like it was going to go to the second intermission with a 2-2 deadlock. But Jack Gorniak scored on the power play with just 33 seconds left in the period to give West Salem a 3-2 lead going into the final stanza. And it took until just under 5 minutes, Eric Prochnow scored an even-strength goal on a scrum to tie the game at 3, made it all the way through the period, went to overtime. There was a penalty with just under 5 minutes remaining on Rapids, and it looked like West Salem was going to have a huge advantage. And not too long after that, one of the West Salem players ran over the Rapids goalie and was charged with a penalty. So they played 4-on-4. They had the faceoff down in the West Salem end. Conkey won the faceoff, drew it back to Storley at the right point, and he ripped a shot that made it through the crowd and went into the net, as the West Salem fans gasped in disbelief and the Rapids fans all went crazy. So a 4-3 win for Rapids in overtime. It was a very good game, a very physical game. There was 24 penalty minutes. Doesn't sound like a lot, but they could have called a few more penalties. They allowed elected to let the players play, and it was a very exciting game. Fast paced, hard hitting, good energy, back and forth. Right before playoffs, this meant the difference between the seeds, and Rapids would end up with a number 2 seed in Section 4, and West Salem took the 3 seed, which gives Rapids the home game if it comes down to those two teams, which it most likely will. So a good game all the way around. Rapids just a little bit better on Saturday at West Salem. And
did
now I'll send it
you?
Over.
You made that nice write-up of West Salem. They won 19 games in a row. You make that nice write-up, and then they lose to Onalaska, and then they lose to Wisconsin Rapids. Kind of
well,
seems like it's your fault.
Yeah, Borey didn't say anything, but
Pat
McDonald.
He probably would have liked you.
Pat McDonald gave me a little crap after the game. He said, you might have jinxed those guys. And I said, does that mean I shouldn't write a story about the Raiders? He goes, absolutely not. So
yeah,
maybe
we can't be starting the rumor of a Wisconsin prep hockey jinx.
Well, it'll give them something to talk about.
Well, the other thing, that I took away from that game is I'm pretty sure that running over the goalie is only ever called a penalty in overtime while you're on the power play.
It seems like it.
I mean, it's supposed to be a penalty all the time, but if you're in overtime on the power play and you run over the goalie, they're going to even that out quick.
And what was kind of funny about that, in a way, was in the second period, they called interference on the West Salem goalie for impeding the progress of a rapid skater, and that's something you don't see that often.
That's something I think you should see called a lot more, where you get the goalie who just kind of stand there and put his stick out, you know, when the guy's kind of trying to skate around the net. Yeah, I think that should be called a lot more often than it is. I applaud whoever that referee was. One of the few referees that we have in the state.
Pat McDonald certainly applauded him. Although it really didn't help him out. They did. They scored on that one. I guess it helped him out. So, yes, Pat is saying, thank you, Mr. Referee. All right, if that's all you guys got for me, we'll send her over to MJ, and he's going to talk about Madison Memorial and Janesville.
Madison Memorial and Janesville got together last Thursday night at Janesville. Two teams that see each other twice a year, and all the games that they've played in the last couple of years have really been tight, and this one was no exception to that, where Janesville holds off Madison Memorial 4-3. Janesville gets two goals in the first period from Ty Perkins, a power play goal and an even strength goal, to go up 2-0, and then go up 3-0, Jack McDougall on the power play. On those first three Janesville goals, Bailey Agutter had an assist on all three of those goals. In the second period, Madison Memorial would come back and get an even strength goal from Blake Complin to make it 3-1. And then 3-2, Blake Complin with another goal on the power play. And so it was 3-2 after two. Then the third period came and Madison Memorial erased Janesville's 3-0 lead. When Jacob Padley, even strength, just about 2 minutes into the third, scores, Complin with an assist on that as well. And we had a 3-3 game with about 15 minutes left in the game. But it come down to a power play, basically, where Janesville was on the power play. Ben Coulter scored as the penalty had just expired. And he scored on a shot that Jack McDougall took from the far point. And that went through traffic, and Coulter tipped it with his stick, and it went in the back of the net. So we had a game on our hands where Madison Memorial would come back and battle and battle and battle, but could never get the equalizer, as Jack Bostet stood tall to the task in that game after he had possibly injured himself earlier in the game. He saved 24-27, while Ryan Kenny at the other end, pretty good job. He stopped 21 of 25, and looking at the numbers, Jacob Padley, a goal and two assists, Blake Complin, two goals and assist, and Ty Perkins with two goals, and as I said, Bailey Agutter with three assists in the game. But this time it was Janesville topping Madison Memorial 4-3 in a very entertaining game, and it was not over till it was over. Yeah, there wasn't much margin for error for Janesville, and they were able to get a win on their home ice. 4-3. So that's a look at games from this week. Now our games of the week, we'll get to that. The WIPH games of the week. Burglar, he took care of business on both of them. The Eastern Shores Conference Championship game for the girls and the boys Badgerland Conference Championship game. And Bill, how did it look for you?
Thanks, Marv. I was traveling all over the state to cover all these games, since I had to go from Final Act Blue Line Center Rink B for the girls' game to Final Act Blue Line Center Rink A for the boys' game. I'm not just going to talk about the games, but just the premise of these games. They were conference championship games, and Bill Jr. wrote a nice article during the week about conference championships, especially how it works with an 8-team conference. Rather than spending 14 games playing each of the 7 teams twice, what the Eastern Shore Conference does with the girls and the Badgerland does with the boys is play each team one time, use that to seed a tournament, and then play the tournament. And you end up expending 10 games rather than 14, leaves you more options for non-conference games. In these tournaments, the preliminary rounds were kind of messed up by snow on Tuesday. So some of the preliminary games were played, some of them weren't. The fun came in the semifinal games. Well, that was on the boys' side. Never mind. The girls' side ended up pretty much as we expected with Bay Area and USM, the top two teams in the conference playing off. And it was a fun game. Bay Area's defensive strategy was pretty much shut down Nicole Unsworth. Whenever Nicole Unsworth got the puck, it was like a magnet. Whoever was on that side went to Nicole Unsworth and denied her opportunities to get to the net. Even with that, USM did open up the scoring just a minute and 20 into the game, just got the puck down and got the puck down to the right side of the net, and Gabby Turner managed to score for USM and put them up, and that lead would hold at 1-0 through the rest of that period, through the second period, kind of a tight defensive game. Bay Area finally got on the board, Morgan Zirbel. It was fun watching Morgan Zirbel and the other defender, Mia Dunning, two of the top three scorers for Bay Area, and they're both defensemen. And I think Dunning's just a freshman. But just watching them, Zirbel is fast. I mean, she can fly. And just watching them pick the puck up behind their net and just, not necessarily, you know, just skate through everybody and go down. In fact, there was a great picture in the photo gallery on the site of Mia Dunning, full head of steam, and one of the girls from university school made the mistake of stepping in front of her. And just got, there's a nice picture of that girl being basically plowed over by Mia Dunning at the time. Good shot. Hats off to our photographer, Bob, doing that. But score stayed that way. Zirbel got the goal back, end-to-end, scored, tied things up. And then that kind of came back to bite Bay Area. There was another rush late in the period. Zirbel got the puck behind her net, went all the way down, got the shot off. The puck got kicked out. And Nicole Unsworth picked up the puck right around the blue line. And Zirbel hadn't had a chance to get back on defense yet, so it was just a race down the ice. Unsworth with the puck and Zirbel giving everything she had, trying to catch up with her, but Unsworth can also skate fast. She got down there first, put a move on the goaltender, slid the puck through the five hole, and that was the difference in the game. But just a great game, a lot of pressure by Bay Area, especially late in the game. But University School came out and they are the champions of the Eastern Shores Conference. And then we took a short little breather and walked over to the other rink to see Nina Menasha Cardinals, Nina Menasha Rockets, Nina Hortonville Menasha Rockets take on the Fond du Lac Cardinals. Getting a little mixed up here. This was the game we didn't expect to see. Same thing happened last year in the Badgerland. I believe it was Oshkosh last year upset. I don't know if it was Appleton or Nina. I'd have to go back and check. But they upset one of them. Oshkosh ended up in the championship game. And this time it was Fond du Lac. And it just, after looking at this stuff, I feel like there should be a redheaded wildling saying, you know nothing, Bill Berg. Because, I mean, Fond du Lac a week ago gets blown away by Superior 8-2, and you go look at Superior stats, and it generally takes them at least four games to score eight goals. And they did it against Fond du Lac. They did it in one. And then in the semifinals for this tournament, Fond du Lac ends up beating Appleton United 2-1. Did anybody see that coming? Guys? Anybody?
Mm-mm.
I didn't. And apparently Appleton didn't either. Maybe they got caught looking ahead. But Final Act beat him 2-1. Nina Hortonville Menasha beat Waupun. Waupun was the one I thought might have an upset coming because Waupun's had a pretty good year. They've done pretty well for themselves this season, but the Rockets beat them 6-1. So we got Nina Hortonville and Final Act in the championship game, and for the first two periods, it was pretty much Nina Hortonville Menasha, you know, a dominating play in the first two periods, and then whatever magic Final Act had in them against Appleton came out in that third period, and they scored, you know, to make it 2-1. Nina scored again to make it back to 3-2. And it was back and forth, and Final Act, you know, pulled their goalie and scored with just over a minute left. And you know, they had it. I think Nina was a bit worried there at the end, but they did hold on. A hat trick for the Rockets by Alec Elkin. But just a very fun game. It was kind of exciting the first two periods, but the last period was just a wild back and forth game with everybody just giving it everything they got. And one of the things we talked about with this conference tournament is, you know, it gives you that sense of urgency, that sense of playoff hockey. And that was evident, especially in the third period. It was the type of intensity you only see during the playoffs. So I think both of these teams are definitely going to be jacked up and ready to start tournament play in just over a week. But Nina Hortonville, Menasha, Rockets, Badgerland Conference Championship, University School Co-op Wildcats, the Eastern Shores Conference Championship. And it all went down on Saturday in the lovely city of Fond du Lac.
Okay, Bill, thanks a lot for that report on our games of the week. Del Scanlon, you got our Players of the Week. Madison's premier Westside Hotel, the Radisson Madison Players of the Week. And who's on the girls' side and who's on the boys' side?
Thanks, MJ. Well, for the girls' side, we're going to go right back to one of the games that Burglar was talking about. And our girls' player of the week, Matt, from the USM, Marie Dietert, the goalie for USM. On Thursday, she had 26 saves, allowed one goal, and a 5-1 win over Fox Cities. And then in the championship game on Saturday, she had 37 saves, allowing one goal and a 2-1 win over the Bay Area Ice Bears. And Marie Dietert is our Radisson Girls Player of the Week.
Can I jump in here, Del?
Yes, sir.
Nice picture of Marie Dietert on our homepage, heading off in the slideshow on the top in the link to the story about that game. It was a shot taken by the defenseman we were talking about, one of the defensemen we were talking about for Bay Area. And she shot high, and what's great about that picture is that puck is over halfway to the net, and Marie Dietert is still on her skates. Most goalies, as soon as somebody goes to shoot, they drop down to the knees, and thus, you know, something that's up in the top part of the net will go in because the goalie's down on their knees already and the top part is open. But she stayed up on that and ended up taking that shot off of her left shoulder when it was ticketed for the top corner of the net. So good job of goaltending, staying up. They shot high, so she stayed on her skates. And now back to you. And I have a feeling that we might know the other player of the week.
And we're going to stay right there in Fond du Lac, where the Badgerland Conference Championship was played. And we're going to go to Alec Elkin, a forward for Nina Menasha Hortonville. On Wednesday, he had one goal, one assist, and an 8-3 win over Fond du Lac Springs. Friday, two goals, one assist, and a 6-1 win over Waupun. And then Saturday, three goals, no assists, and a 4-3 win over Fond du Lac. And that makes Alec Elkin our Madison Radisson Boys Player of the Week. And with that, I'm going to toss it back to MJ.
All right, thanks a lot, Del. Those are our Players of the Week. Congratulations to them. Our top 10, Bill Jr. has our boys and girls listings. And Jr., what happened this week and who's in and who's out of the top 10?
All right, MJ, well, there's a lot of shakeup on the boys' side. Sliding back into the number one spot is Wausau West. Two is Eau Claire Memorial. Appleton United drops down to third. Nina Menasha Hortonville moves up to fourth. Hudson is fifth. Middleton is sixth. Anago is seventh. Stevens Point is eighth. Waukesha is ninth. And Onalaska is tenth. Six honorable mention teams for the boys this week. Bayport, Madison Edgewood, New Richmond, University School, Wanakee, and Wisconsin Rapids. On the girls, there's actually only one change this week. Bay Area and Fond du Lac switched spots. The top five are the same: Central Wisconsin, University School, Hayward, St. Croix Valley, Hudson. The bottom five, just that switch between Bay Area and Fond du Lac. Bay Area is sixth and Fond du Lac is seventh this week. 8, 9, and 10 are all the same: Eau Claire, Altoona, Fox Cities, and Northland Pines. And honorable mention for the girls are the Lakeshore Lightning, the Metro Lynx, and Superior Spartans.
Okay, fellas, any surprises in the top 10 for the boys or the girls, or does that look pretty good?
Well, usually about this time of year, we're out of surprises. You know, the only thing that can happen is, you know, you get some of the teams who, you know, the lesser-known teams that didn't play as strong a schedule with a great record, you know, they might sneak in there. And, you know, that could have happened with West Salem. You know, the Wisconsin Rapids beat them, you know, over time, so that kind of keeps West Salem out of the honorable mention area. But yeah, usually by this time, there aren't a whole lot of surprises.
I think, as you mentioned that, Bill, you look at the record that Wanakee has with only four losses on the season. They have a ton of scoring. And when I go back and look at their schedule, really not that tough of a schedule. And that's what might be holding them up in the honorable mention at this point. Looking at their schedule for the season, I mean, they've played Ashwaubenon. They play in the Badger North. So looking at that, they played Middleton. They lost to Middleton. They beat Monona Grove. RWD, they beat them. They beat McFarland. They beat Sauk Prairie Big twice. So not really the toughest of schedules, but still, nonetheless, it's enough to keep them into the honorable mention part of the boys' side.
And the Fond du Lac win over Appleton United got me thinking. And, you know, this year, United has beaten Nina Hortonville Menasha. They've beat Rapids. They've beat Bayport. They've beat Notre Dame. They've beat Spash. They've beat a good Mosinee team twice. They've beat University School. They've beaten Waupun twice. You know, they've played a good, tough schedule this year, but their two losses on the season are a previously winless Fond du Lac Springs and then a Fond du Lac team who was seeded fourth in the Badgerland Conference Tournament. And that got me thinking, you know, they're the number one team in the state, but their two losses are to unranked teams and teams that really have not sniffed the top 10 in honorable mention this year. So I started looking at other teams that are usually in the top 10 and when the last time they lost to an unranked team was. And the current leader in the state is Wausau West. They haven't lost a game to an unranked, that means top 10 or honorable mention, team since 2013. January 31st, 2013, so slightly over 3 years ago, they lost to DC Everest, who is unranked. Eau Claire Memorial hasn't lost since January 9th of 2014. They lost to an unranked Rice Lake team. Notre Dame Academy actually had a streak of 5 years from December of 2010 when they lost to Sheboygan to December of 2015 earlier this year when they lost to De Pere. 5 years without losing to an unranked team. So, you know, I was just looking at Appleton United. They've got a lot of impressive wins on the season, but then those two losses sort of vexed me.
Well, one thing in common with those two losses is they both came at the Fond du Lac Blue Line Ice Arena. And the other, Appleton's other, when they played Fond du Lac in for their regular conference game, they only won that game 3-2. So, That Fond du Lac Blue Line Center just might be lined with Appleton Kryptonite.
I guess that anything could be possible with that. Let's take a look at our upcoming games of the week. Friday, we'll be covering the Metro Lynx taking on the Central Wisconsin Storm. And the boys on Tuesday, a good one up in the Wisconsin Valley Conference, or one of the teams in the Wisconsin Valley Conference, Wausau West taking on Antigo, two teams that have been in our top 10 all season, going to butt heads, and Wisconsin Prep Hockey will have the coverage of that one. So,
well, it's funny you're going to say butt heads, you know, when we were just about to talk about the Antigo head coach.
Okay.
Who's kind of a butt head.
As far as regular season games go, this is probably the most important game Antigo's played the last three seasons. The Robins have done, you know, Great Northern team, have done really well against the Valley the last 3 years. They've got a 7-1 record against teams that aren't Wausau West. They're 4-0 against Spash over the last 3 years, 2-1 against DC Everest, and 1-0 against Wausau East. But then they're 0-2 against Wausau West, and neither of those games was very good for the Robins. This is probably
Both of them came in the sectional finals.
This is true. Neither of those games were good for the Robins, and this game against West, they don't have to win it, but they have to show that they can play West better than they did in those two sectional finals to have hope going into the sectionals.
When you look at this game, Junior, I think you're right on the head about this one. You know, Antigo's going to have to show Wausau West we can go toe to toe with you. I mean, that if to just send some form of a message that, you know, we're not, you know, we're here to play, we're here to, you know, move on to state if we get that matchup, but it's a good opportunity for them to make a statement saying we're here for the long haul. Well, so I totally agree with that.
Well, I sort of agree. I think Antigo has to send that message not to Wausau West, but to themselves, that yes, we can skate with these guys. We don't, you know, it's not like we're going to skate with them for a period or a period and a half and then the roof's going to fall in. I think they have to get that monkey off their own backs that, you know, we can skate with these guys for a full game. I don't think there's anything so much in Wausau West is to shake the demons out of their own locker room.
Well, we will have the coverage of that one, and that is Tuesday night, Antigo taking on Wausau West. And, guys, you guys want to talk about the sectionals tonight?
Are you going to leave us, Marv?
Yeah.
Marv Albert, yes! Everybody.
Yes!
MJ's got his Marv Albert headset on.
Well, I don't have my Marv Albert head hairpiece on, though, so that's who.
All right, you go take Mason to practice, and we will talk about sections 1-4 on the boys' side because the seedings came out yesterday. All the information is up on the site, and it's what everybody wants to talk about now because the tournament is not that far away.
Before I go, Del Scanlon, you wanted to send out a congratulations. You sent us a note about, and I'll let you have the honors.
Thanks, MJ. Earlier this week, Coach Cranston of the St. Croix Valley Fusion in their game against Hudson picked up his 200th career win. And this actually came up in an email that he had sent to me discussing that Sunday made his 11th seating meeting. And, you know, just how long he's been at it and, you know, that he had picked up his 200th win. So congratulations to Coach Cranston and the St. Croix Valley Fusion as Coach Cranston picked up his 200th win in this past week against Hudson.
Now before I leave, here's the next question. Who holds the record for the most coaching victories on the girls' side in WIA?
Pete Sozins. No, that's on the boys' side. Never mind.
Okay, let me ask you this. On the boys' side, Pete Susans is coaching on the girls' side. We all know he holds the record. Who is the active most winningest coach for the boys? Something to ponder.
Do you know the answer?
No, I don't. That's why I threw it out there? Yeah, I just threw it out there.
Trasher will have the answer for us in just a minute.
Why don't you guys talk about sectionals, and I'll see you soon, okay?
If I had to guess, I would say Pat McDonald.
He's probably pretty close. He's over 300, I think, but...
How about Jason Kalen?
I don't think he's been coaching long enough.
I would bet you John Mauerman's up there somewhere.
Mauerman, yeah. Dan Bauer would know. He kept track of all of this here a few years back. Every time I try to keep track of it, the coaches always say, I don't know what my record is. What difference does it make?
I'll tell you what. Somebody do the homework and send it to submit at wisconsinpreppockey.net if these guys can't figure it out, and then we will all know. So just send it in if somebody does know that.
Go take Mason to practice.
See you later.
If Coach Cranston's at 200 wins in 11 years, he's got to be, if he's not at the top, he's got to be damn close, because the girls' bracket isn't much older than 11 years to begin with.
I was thinking maybe Denny Drake.
But Denny would be right up there, but how many years did Coach Cowan coach Fond du Lac? And he had them.
Eight or nine, maybe.
And he had him right down there at Madison.
Anyway, let's get back to our topic at hand, which is sectional playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to start with section one.
All right.
The first section.
Yeah.
So who wants to go first?
Section one, well, let's just run through the seeds here. Hudson, number one. New Richmond, number two. Somerset, three. They all get... a free pass that first game. Menominee and Rice Lake, 4 or 5, they play. River Falls and Whistle Flag play for the right to play Hudson. Superior and Amory play for the right to play Somerset. And Baldwin, Woodville, and the Northwest Icemen play for the right to play New Richmond. I looked, and in the 15 years going back to 2001, Superior's never played a Tuesday regional game. I'm not sure Superior's actually ever played a Tuesday regional game.
And I don't know whether they anticipated that this year, because I always thought it was, you call it arrogance or confidence, whatever you want, but they always used to have their annual game against Duluth East scheduled for this very Tuesday. It was like, well, how do you know you're not going to have a game then? Well, because we're Superior. But they didn't have a game on their schedule for it this week. I don't know whether they stopped doing that or whether they thought that, well, maybe we're not going to get that first round bye this year.
Well, I mean, the top seed, Hudson, they are undefeated in this section this year. The only blips on their record are a loss to Wausau West and two losses to Eau Claire Memorial. No harm in that. They've beat Superior twice. They beat Menominee. They beat New Richmond. I don't believe they played Somerset. Hudson, they've been in the top five pretty much all season this year. And, they're a good, strong team. They beat, I think, their biggest competition in this section is going to be New Richmond and, honestly, Superior. It seems weird to say that, given that Superior has 3 wins, maybe 4 wins so far this season. I think it's 3. They played Hudson twice, 3-0 and 3-2, both Hudson wins. Hudson beat New Richmond 4-3 in overtime. I think if those two meet, that'll be a fantastic game. On the other side of the bracket, Menominee and Rice Lake, they could, given, the right breaks, they could give Hudson a run for their money. Rice Lake beat Superior earlier this year. Menominee was actually the first of Superior's 3 wins on the season. But they played Hudson to a 3-2 game. So, Section 1, Hudson should win it, but they should have won it each of the last 2 years, too. Over the last 3 regular seasons, Hudson is 5-0 against Superior, And over the last two postseason, the Hudson is 0-2 against Superior. So they might have that same mental block against Superior that Anago does against Wausau West.
Well, the last time that Hudson made it to the state tournament was 2004, and they won the championship that year along with winning it in 2001. So it's been a long time since they've been there. But, I mean, like they say, look, you know, you look at on paper and they're a clear-cut winner, but they don't play the games on paper.
Well, I don't know if they're a clear-cut winner. What was your score against New Richmond?
4-3 overtime.
4-3 in overtime. I don't call that a clear-cut winner. I haven't seen Hudson play this year. I will throw that out there right away. I have seen New Richmond play. New Richmond is a good team. When they have everything going for them, they're a good, solid team. They play strong defense. They don't let you to the net. That is a quality team. I would not take it as a huge upset to see New Richmond beat Hudson in the championship.
And it wouldn't be unprecedented for New Richmond to beat a top seed. I mean, they did beat Eau Claire Memorial 4-0 already this year.
And the final is in New Richmond, so that throws a little bit more chaos into the mix. Yeah, I guess clear-cut.
The Tigers
one thing that I want to throw out here, guys,
yeah,
is New Richmond's first game could be interesting. If Baldwin beats Spooner, which, you know, going by seeding, New Richmond and Baldwin have split their games this year. That was a 6-5 win in Baldwin for Baldwin, and they lost just last week 7-1 for New Richmond. But if New Richmond goes into that game against Baldwin and is looking ahead at all, you know, you're going to have a nice tight game there. You know, you don't want to sit there and overlook something, you know, just because you're the number two seed coming in. I guess the team that's the number seven seed that you split with earlier in the year.
And people will talk about strength of schedule, but anybody who overlooks the line of Brandon Connett, Gavin Hessler, and Landon Albrightson does so at their own peril. Yeah, Baldwin Woodville's a seven seed, and their schedule hasn't been amazing, but that line stacks up with just about anybody else's first line in the state. There's a lot of punch on that line, and if you overlook them, they will hurt you for it.
Okay. Who else do we... I don't really know anything about Race Lake and Menominee. Not really seen either of them.
Let's just give some history about Superior, since they're the sixth seed that's going to get the most talk out of any division. From 2001 to 2015, they went to the state tournament 13 times out of this section. All but 2 years. They won 3 championships and came in runner-up 3 other times. So of the 13 times they went down to Madison, they went to the championship game in just under half of them. They were the number one seed 11 times in those 15 years, the 2 seed 3 times, the 4 seed once. So the 6 seed here for them is unheard of for them. And, you know, as we mentioned, they've only got 3 wins on the year, but the Superior team that was playing at the start of the year is not the Superior team that's playing now. They went to overtime against Wausau West in the tournament in Green Bay, the showdown in Titletown. They lost that game. They went to overtime against Nina in the showdown in Titletown. They lost that game. They spanked Fond du Lac 8-2 down there. The last time they played Hudson was just back in January. It was a 3-2 game. You know, for a team with 3 wins, that's a damn good team.
Yeah, we made the mistake of overlooking Superior last year. We wrote them off because they were, on the season, they were under 500 when the playoffs started. And even in Wisconsin, they were under 500 when the playoffs started. So we kind of wrote them off last year, and we all know how that ended up, with them hoisting the trophy down in Madison.
For the 13th time. And another stat to toss out there, and this one is actually pretty crazy. In 84 games, they are 60-24 in state tournament action. That's nuts. So they have... They definitely have that history. They have the tradition, a proud tradition, and they're not going to go away anytime soon. But like you said, Junior, this is uncharted territory for them, being the sixth seed going into this tournament.
Yeah, and as you know, as Bergler mentioned earlier, Superior's problem is that they don't have any punch. Outside of that game against Fond du Lac where they scored 8 goals, I think the most they've scored this year.
They had one game with 5.
They had one game with 5 against Proctor, who is a horrible team in Minnesota, and the rest of their games have been 3 or less. They're not a team with a lot of punch, but they do all the things that Superior always does. They skate really well. They handle the puck really well. They just have problems putting the puck in the net. That said, I pick Hudson.
If we're going to pick, are we going to pick?
We are.
I will also go with Hudson. I can't back off my statement. I think Brooks Lockwood is going to take his boys to state tournament this year.
Dell?
I'm going to go with New Richmond.
And I have a class reunion coming up this summer, my 40th class reunion, and I would not be able to show my face up there if I were to not pick Superior for Section 1.
See, now, my brain says Hudson, but my heart wants Somerset to win because I like Dan Gilkerson. He's always sending us stuff as far as coaches go. He's one of the more consistent top 10 voters year in and year out. Whenever we ask for player nominees, he's always got something to say. As far as coaches who work well with Wisconsin Prep Hockey, in Section 1, Dan Gilkerson's probably the best. So.
And he's a nice guy.
There you go.
And he runs a good program over there.
Yeah. They've done a lot and have been pretty successful.
For a very small town.
Roger that. All right, shall we go to Section 2?
We shall. Section 2, number 1, surprising nobody, is Eau Claire Memorial. Number 2, surprising many people, is Eau Claire North. After several just bad years for the North program, they're starting to turn things around. Number 2, Eau Claire North will play Marshfield in their first round game. Hayward is 3rd. They'll play Regis, Altoona, McDonald. Altoona merged with the Regis McDonald co-op for this year. 4th is Chippewa Falls. They'll face number 5, Ashland. And number 8, Chequamegon Phillips, and number 9, Medford play for the right to play Eau Claire Memorial. And, you know, I entered all the brackets today, and to me, no offense to the rest of the teams in Section 2, I think Eau Claire is probably, of all the number 1 seeds, probably has the best shot. The best odds at going to Madison. For as far as Eau Claire Memorial goes, they've been sort of just quietly under the radar this year, but they've put together a great season. I don't believe they've lost to anybody in their section yet this year. So that, you know, doesn't hurt at all. You know, their losses this year came to, they have
New Richmond,
and a tie with Wausau West, and a loss to Hudson. That's it. It's not, you know, 4-0 win against Chippewa Falls, 6-0 win against Eau Claire North. Their second game was snowed out. I believe they're making that up tonight. I don't know that anybody in that section can touch Eau Claire Memorial this year.
Well, last year, the sectional championship game was between those very old Abes. Well, not those old Abes, but the old Abes and Hayward, who was the number 3 seed last year, and Memorial won that 5-1. We could very well see a reprise of that, although this year the game will be at Hayward instead of Chippewa Falls. But, Junior, I think I agree with you. No offense, but Memorial is just, I think, right place and the right time, and they had a very good chance to win this sectional.
Well, like Bill and I were discussing earlier, is there another number two seed in any section that has an 11-0 loss on their record for this year? Eau Claire North does.
I mean, it was to Hudson.
Who's not in this section,
right,
but still.
Right, not in this section. And their two games in conference play against Hudson, they lost a combined 19-0. And they lost to Eau Claire Memorial 6-0. So I think the gap, just Eau Claire Memorial is, there's something in the water on that side of town. And I think it'd be, if somebody came out of this section, I would point to, like, a Chippewa Falls. Chippewa Falls always plays Eau Claire harder than you think they're going to. The Cardinals just, they get up for those games against Eau Claire more than they do some of their other opponents. So, you know, if they came out and they beat Eau Claire Memorial, it would be a surprise, but I don't think it would be the biggest shock in the world. It's sort of like how the only team that can go into Eagle River, Northland Pines, on a consistent basis and win in the barn is Mosinee.
Mosinee, yes.
Is Mosinee. I think Chippewa Falls, as far as their conference goes, is that team for Eau Claire Memorial.
But this would be, if there was one lead pipe lock pick of the eight sections, this would be yours?
Yes. It would be Eau Claire Memorial.
All right, then, shall we move on?
To everybody's favorite section?
Everybody's favorite section.
Section three.
So we all chose Eau Claire Memorial?
Oh, I'm sorry.
We sort of skipped the voting. Burglar and I did. How about you two?
Yeah, how about you guys?
I'm going with Eau Claire Memorial.
Okay.
It's anonymous.
Yeah. Send all your hate mail to Trasher at WisconsinPrepHockey.net.
Thank you. I read it all.
Moving on to Section 3, surprising nobody, number 1, Wausau West, 2, Anago, 3, Spash, and 4, DC Everest. Pacelli and Rhinelander play for the right to play West. Mosinee and Wausau East play for the right to play DC Everest. Pines and Merrill play for the right to play Spash. And Lakeland and Tomahawk play for the right to play Antigo. I think this is actually, you know, 1, 2, and 3 are all in the top 10. West is number 1, Anago and Stevens Point are 7 and 8. I believe the computers have Point a little higher than Anago, and Anago down around 9th right now. But, you know, those four teams are all ranked by the computers. I actually think Mosinee is actually a dark horse team in this sectional. I think they've played really, really well this year. If 5 beating a 4 isn't a huge deal, but if you had to twist my arm and have me make a prediction, I would think Mosinee over DC Everest is probably going to happen, I think. But when it comes down to it, Anago is 4-0 against Spash the last 3 years, both regular season and playoffs. Early this season, they spanked Spash 7-2. Since then, Spash has gotten better. And I think Anago, there's been a couple times when I've questioned their ability to put the puck in the net, which is odd for a team with Alex Nagel on it. But neither of those teams has had much, if any, success against Wausau West the last couple of years. And, like, Wausau West, they have something, just something in the playoffs where they've won this section, what, 7, 8 years in a row now?
6 years in a row.
See?
I mean, close.
They split with Spash this year, so it's not like Spash doesn't have a chance against them. But I don't know, man.
Well, go ahead.
All right, thank you. Spash is a young team, led by the Caulfield brothers, Brock and Cole. They're a young team, and it's always been my experience, what I've seen, is that the young teams tend to improve more over the course of a season than a team that is, you know, loaded with seniors. There's, you know, they've already, you know, they've been playing for 4 years. They've seen it all. They've done it all. Young teams tend to improve more. And I think the reason that Antigo, got the number two seed over Spash was that 7-2 win early in the season. And that was very early in the season. And since then, you look at the scores of the Spash games, they have gotten stronger as the season has gone on. They lost to Wausau West early in the season, beat Wausau West late in the season. Spash has probably shown the most improvement over the season, you know, and that goes with being a young team. So, you know, that's a dangerous thing. And as far as your Mosinee and DC Everest, I did see them play in the Marathon Cup, where DC Everest handled Mosinee fairly easily at 6-2.
Mosinee's gotten better since then.
They're not a young team.
In their last five games,
Spash, all right, they're a young team.
In their last five games, Spash has beaten Bayport, Notre Dame, Madison, Edgewood, and Wisconsin Rapids. And then their only loss in that span is a loss to Nina Hortonville Menasha, who is currently ranked number 4 in the state. So West, whoever they face, if they make it down to that championship game, they're gonna have their hands full.
Well, and that's the thing. This is one where, you know, you look at whether you're seeded one or two. In most sections, doesn't matter because the championship game is at a neutral site or a predetermined site. But in this case, West should the section play out per seeds, West will have to play the winner of Antigo Spash, whereas Antigo or Spash is going to have to, you know, first beat the other one and then beat West. You know, so the number one seed in this section is significant.
Now, Burglar, you actually have Antigo at Wausau West tomorrow night that you're covering for the game of the week.
Yes, I am. I would not miss that for the world.
My question for you is, what does Antigo have to do to beat Wausau West? You've seen these guys, both teams, play this year, correct?
Yes.
So you actually, you know, compared to me, you've got a lot better idea as to what Antigo needs to do to win that game.
Well, Dell, to be honest, compared to you, I have a lot better ideas about most things.
Ouch.
But in this case, yes. What Wausau West has always been known for is playing strong defensively in front of their net. You don't get inside their defenseman to get those easy shots at the net. And most of Antigo's scoring, you know, talk about Alex Nagel, their leading scorer. He can stick handle, he can dangle, he can move, he's got good speed, he takes the shots, but if you cut him off from getting in close, Antigo has trouble getting the dirty goals, the grind it, rebound, traffic in front of the net goals. They have a couple of good size forwards, they're not an overly big team, they don't have those power forwards that can muscle their way to the net. So that's, you know, you keep them away from the net, keep their shot to the outside. I mean, that's what New Richmond did. The game I saw, New Richmond beat them 2-1. Northland Pines did that to them. The first time they played, Antigo eventually wore Pines down, got two goals late in the third period to win that game 3-1. But yes, if you can keep Antigo to the outside, don't let them get inside. That's your best chance. So Antigo has to get some of their bigger guys, like Adam Schmidt, who's got good size, good sturdy sophomore forward, Elijah Wickersheim. Those guys have to muscle their way to the net and make things uncomfortable for the Wausau West goalie. They alternate goalies, whichever one they have. They tend to give up rebounds, but you have to get inside their defenseman to get at those rebounds. So my take on it, if it's Wausau West and Antigo, it is, tomorrow night, Anigo's got to get inside those defensemen to get to those pucks and get to those rebounds and make things uncomfortable for the Wausau West goalie.
Well, I have my take on this is while we were doing the middle of the program, I had a chance to take some notes here, and I wrote down the top four seeds in each sectional and maybe a dark horse team, and I put a little star by each of the ones that I think have a chance of winning the sectional, and this is one of the two sectionals where I have three teams with stars next to them, Wausau West, Anigo, and Spash. Granted, one will be maybe favored over the other two, and in this case, it's probably West, but Anigo and Spash aren't that far off. It's not like Section 2 when Memorial has a pretty big advantage over the rest of the sectional. This 1, 2, and 3 are pretty close. And I think you were talking about goalies and how West alternates their goalies, and this doesn't always come into play in high school, but it does occasionally. West has two goalies that are experienced and have seen a lot of ice time. Neither Anigo or Spash have that, and on the 2% chance that it comes into play, that would be an advantage for West. I do have one trivia question for you, Burglar, before we move on, if everybody's done here.
We're not.
The last time Anigo made a trip to state tournament was 2005. They lost to Superior in the quarterfinals 7-1. Who scored Anigo's goal?
Nate Manter.
You are correct.
He was the only scorer. I remember I did the game for the radio. All I remember is that group, Nate Manter, was the only goal scorer they had on that team, so I figured that's my best odds.
Nate Manter right. was a goal scorer?
The only one they had on that team. But,
wow, that does not jive with my recollections of him.
Oh, anyway, not to discount the other teams in the section, but looking at as far as who's going to face Wausau West. I mean, all right, because Wausau West, they have to play the winner of Pacelli and Rhinelander. That's Wausau West. As Bill mentioned, Mosinee and DC Everest, that could be an interesting game. Andigo, they got the winner of Lakeland Tomahawk. I think 7-1 is the closest game that Anigo's had against either, and they've played Lakeland and Tomahawk twice. 7-1 is probably the closest any of those were. But Spash will play Northland Pines. And I, for one, am not one to write off Northland Pines when it comes to playoff hockey, or any hockey for that matter. They live up in Eagle River. They eat, sleep, hockey. That's what they do. So Spash, before they get Anigo, Wausau West, they are going to have to deal with Northland Pines. They did play earlier in the season. It was 6-4 Spash win over Northland Pines, and that was actually up in Eagle River. And that was early in the season. As we mentioned before, Pines or Spash has, improved over the course of the season, but still, I would not put an automatic check mark for that game, for Spash.
Well, as you had said, that, Spash has been playing better toward the end of the year. Pines has been doing the opposite exactly. They are 2-4 in their last six games, so they've been struggling a little bit. They lost to Mosinee, they lost to Hayward, they beat Wapaka, they lost to Appleton United, they beat Medford, and lost to Anigo. So, I mean, if you look at it that way, then maybe Spash is playing better at this junction of the year. Juncture, whatever
juncture,
the heck,
yeah.
Whatever word we want to use, juncture, junction, function at the junction, whatever.
Conjunction, junction.
Yeah, there you go. We could use that too.
Schoolhouse
so
rock.
if we use that, then we have to say that Spash is probably favored in that game. But I've seen Pines play quite a few games, not this year, obviously, but they, you're right, they have hockey in their blood. They're just like Superior. So we won't count them out, but I still put a little star next to Spash.
All right, so predictions.
The difference between Pines and Superior is that people actually live in Superior. Pines is like 8 people. The entire population of the city is on the hockey
team. No, it's not. It was like nine.
Eagle River is 8 people, but they all live in the lakes and woods surrounding Eagle River. You can't just look at the population of
it's still a 350-person school.
Yes.
Jocelyn is going to be mad at you guys.
Not me. I'm the one saying that Pines is...
Well, no. You misunderstand me. I'm saying nobody is in Pines, and they still have that hockey tradition. They have conference championships.
Okay,
There's nobody there, and they still manage to be good year after year.
Yeah.
What he's saying is the 12 people that live up there all play hockey.
They have a great tradition. You have to say that for sure. All right, our predictions.
Do you have to ask mine?
Yeah, I know who you're going to go for.
I'm going to go with the number one seed, Wausau West.
I'm
good, Robbins.
Going to go with Spash because it'll make Chad Holmes angry.
I'm going to make Chad Holmes happy and go with West. And that concludes section 3. All right, we got one more to do, guys.
On to section 4. Section 4, top seed Onalaska, second seed Wisconsin Rapids, third West Salem, fourth is Black River Falls, and the La Crosse Aquinas Avalanche Co-op is fifth. La Crosse, Logan Central, and Viroqua will play for the right to play Onalaska. Reedsburg Dells and Sauk Prairie will play for the right to play West Salem. And Toma and Sparta will play for the right to play Wisconsin Rapids. Baraboo Portage was ruled ineligible for the postseason due to having too many disqualifications. So they are off of the bracket in Section 4 this year. Now, this year's a little different because last year the top four seeds in Section 4 didn't actually play each other. I think it was Onalaska, West Salem, Wisconsin Rapids, and Baraboo Portage. They didn't actually play each other, so we couldn't compare any of their games. And this year, at least Onalaska and West Salem played each other, and West Salem and Rapids played each other. West Salem lost both those games, 4-2 to Onalaska and 4-3 to Rapids in overtime. So, where Section 2 we had a stone cold lock for Eau Claire Memorial, Section 4 is probably a little bit more wide open, 4-2 and 4-3 in overtime. Those are not bad losses by West Salem by any means. So 1, 2, and 3, I would hope that, Trasher, this is your other section where you had three teams checked with a legitimate possibility of winning.
This is the section for sure. Onalaska has been ranked a little bit higher. They've been playing very well. The sectional final is at the Omni Center in Onalaska, so they have that little bit of an advantage. Rapids and West Salem most likely are going to end up butting heads before that, and that game will be in Rapids, so that'll give them a little bit of an advantage there. But you're right, there's three teams there, and depending on how they're playing and the luck of the draw and the roll of the die and the bounce of the puck, it could be any of those three winning the sectional and going to the state tournament. The only advantage, I think, an advantage is that Onalaska and Rapids have both been to state tournament. West Salem has not, but they've been playing very well. They were a very quick, aggressive, physical team in that game that I watched. They have some skilled players. Gorniak and Bailey Martin are two very good forwards. And their goaltending was, anything can happen. I'll jump out ahead a little bit here with my favorite. I'm going to take my homeboys, Rapids, to win this, but with a little luck, you know, it could be any of those three, and with a little more luck, it could be maybe an outside team, but I would think it would be one of these three.
Well, as I'm looking at it, I was trying to remember, if I think it was 2 years ago that Onalaska actually made it to the championship game down at Madison. Last year, it was RWD that ended up representing the sectional down at Madison out of four. They're one of the biggest problems with RWD this year is that they don't have the scoring punch. While they still have Dylan Brown, they don't have the rest of the killer bees out there this year, and they've been struggling trying to come up with that attack throughout the season. But as you look at the bracket, you know, they play Sauk, and the winner of that, of course, goes to West Salem. That game, West Salem and RWD played earlier this year, and West Salem won that game 7-2. And that's a game that, you know, it's actually one you can kind of throw your previous matches out the window. They had tight games in the playoffs before. I can remember my son's senior year. They went down there and they played in West Salem in the playoffs. And the game ended up going into overtime. West Salem ends up winning that game and, you know, knocking RWD out then. Of course, with it being at West Salem was the higher seed then. But that, I mean, it's just these kids have grown up playing youth hockey against each other. They've played on the Blue Devils, so they know each other pretty well. And it's one of those games where, you know, It's almost like a rivalry game as well as they know each other. But looking at it as it's going through, I still think Onalaska will come out of here with the win and be representing Section 4 down at Madison.
You know, I looked at those top three teams, and other than West Salem's loss, you know, this last week they lost to Onalaska and Wisconsin Rapids. Other than those two games, 1, 2, and 3 in the sectional are undefeated against Section 4 opponents this year. So I don't know that I would look too far down in the bracket to find, you know, an upset or anything. But of those three that are there, one of these days we're going to get Onalaska and Wisconsin Rapids to play a game during the regular season. It's going to happen eventually, I hope, but I think I'm going to have to go with Onalaska this year.
Oh, we're doing the picks already.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I haven't really said much about this section, but this is, you know, what I always consider to be the Vic McDonald sectional, which is basically put together, you know, to get Wisconsin Rapids to the state tournament every year. They've managed to screw that up the last couple of years, but I think this year they are back on track. Wisconsin Rapids has got a very solid team. I looked at the schedules, you know, on Alaska and West Salem, the teams that they have played. Wisconsin Rapids has played a much stronger schedule. I think that is going to prepare them more for this playoff run. And, yeah, I think the Pat Levine-led Wisconsin Rapids Raiders are going to take this section.
That a boy burglar. Hey, I got a little piece of trivia here for Section 4 as well. Not so much a trivia question as just plain a trivia statement. In 2006, Wisconsin Rapids had a 2-1 victory over Middleton. That game was a 6-overtime game, 98 minutes and 33 seconds and counting when... And it was late into the night. You guys probably all remember that. We were wondering if we were ever going to get back to the hotel, starting to get thirsty. And on that, in that game, Jeff Schmudlock was playing for Middleton. He is now a Middleton assistant, and they're vying for a chance to get to state. We'll cover them, I believe, on Wednesday. And Sean Borey played for Rapids. He is now an assistant for his brother at West Salem. So there's a couple guys with ties to that game this year that are hoping to make a trip as assistant coaches. So kind of a fun fact.
As I mentioned before, I think it was 2 years ago when Onalaska made it down to state and ended up playing in that title game. Well, Tyler Ebner, in that trip down to Madison before the championship game, had broke his collarbone. And then going into the next season, which would have been last year, re-broke it before the season started and ended up missing part of the season and everything. And he's been back and playing a heck of a season this year for the Hilltoppers. And that's one reason I think that, you know, they have the experience of being down there, you know, and that's one reason I've been going with them as my pick.
He is the second leading scorer in the state, both in terms of points and goals. In both, he is behind Jacob Thousand of Wanakee. Why is it that whenever a guy coaches the top 10 team, his kid is always really, really good? You got Alec Elkin over there and Nina. You've had, you know, Brett Schwengler, graduates from Eau Claire, Pete Susan's kid from West. Whenever a kid comes up and his dad's a top 10 coach, he's always really good.
And
coach's bias.
It's
yeah.
probably and, all those extra shifts they get.
Yeah.
And Tyler Ebner kind of did this ass backwards. He played for the Madison Capitals and came back to play for his high school team. So it seems like usually it's the other way around. Or occasionally it's the other way around. I shouldn't say usually.
That happened in Lakeland a few years ago with, what's his name?
Oh, Sutter.
Yeah, Chris Chelios' line mate's kid.
Yeah. That's it.
Gary Suter's kid. And he was a cap for most of his youth hockey, and he didn't want to do that anymore. And in high school he went back and, you know, played for Lakeland. As long as they're not playing for the Caps during high school, that's fine with me.
Anyway, did we make our picks?
We did.
We did, and that's it for boys sections 1 through 4. We'll be back tomorrow night with all 4 girls sectionals, and then on Wednesday night we'll do boys sections 5 through 8.
Right, so thank you for listening to an extended playoff edition of This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey. And remember, keep your stick on the ice.